All right, good to see you tonight, and it's just been a privilege for us to be here today, and we certainly do appreciate the opportunity, and appreciate you, and good to see your faces each time we come, your faithfulness to the Lord, and I certainly appreciate that. Thank you for your kindness to us and the meal today, and everything that you've done for us, we certainly appreciate it. Hebrews chapter number 13 is where I want to be this evening if we can. Hebrews chapter number 13, please. I don't remember what I've preached here before and what I haven't. So if I've preached this before, then we'll just trust the Lord need you to hear it again. And or maybe needs me to preach it again. I don't know how it'll go. But one time I pastored for 20 years in South Carolina, and right at 20 years, and I preached everything and that I knew, and so I just asked one day, what do y'all want me to preach on? I mean, is there something different? It's all Scripture. It's all God's Word. It's all true. No matter where we open, it's all the truth, and aren't you glad for that? I'm certainly grateful for that tonight, and if you can nail that down in your heart, then it will be a blessing to you down the road. And I tell you, y'all are blessed with a bunch of young people here. I tell you, it's just a blessing to see these kids here, and it blessed my heart. I appreciate your parents being faithful, bringing your children. And it's sad that you see kids out here in the world and look like both parents are drug heads, you know, and you just... And it's bad enough for them, but you think about them little kids, what they're raised in and what they're exposed to. And I tell you, it blesses me seeing you here with your children, grandchildren, what a blessing that is. And I encourage you to keep that up. Don't ever stop that. And try to stay in here and stay faithful to the Lord. And they're watching you. And so we need that. The devil tries to work on the young people because if he can get them when they're young, he thinks he can keep them. And I see that in a lot of different segments of society. The world and the devil goes after the little ones, the younger ones, and even teenagers, and tries to tempt them away from the things of God. And so it's just a blessing watching these children here. And seeing you young people, some of you young people are a little bit older now. I've been coming now for a couple of years. And I appreciate you being here. Appreciate you being faithful in the house of the Lord. Now, you may have to come. Your parents may make you. But that's a blessing. You don't understand what a blessing that is. And I know you're standing. I'm sorry. I was 21 when I got saved. My parents made me go to church till I was 18. And then I got away from church. Of course, I wasn't saved, but quit going to church just once in a while. I would go, you know, to see people I knew. I wasn't going for any spiritual reasons. But when I got saved, all that changed, and I fell in love with the church and the people of God and the man of God. So I encourage you, teenagers, older teenagers, young adults, stay in here with God. Stay in here. Back the man of God. Be a blessing to the people and be faithful to the Lord. And the Lord will bless you for that. I know He will. Hebrews chapter number 13 tonight. We'll read just three verses if we can. It's nothing you don't know, but this is what's on my heart. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Verse number 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And verse number 24 says, "Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you." I want to deal with that thought this evening, the pastor and the people. The pastor and the people. So let's bow for just a moment of prayer, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here. What a blessing, Lord, it's been for us to be here today. Thank you for this group of people, Lord. Each time I come, they're faithful And I'm so grateful for that. Please bless this dear man of God that labors here and his wife. And Lord, I have much confidence in them, and I thank you for them, their testimony, and their stand. And I pray that you'd bless them, give them a safe trip home. And I pray that your precious will be done in this place, and all the outreaches that they have and the ministries that they have. I pray that you'd bless them and help them. Please strengthen these couples, the young people. Please, Lord, I pray that you'd please let the purpose in their heart to be faithful. And I pray that you'd please, Lord, bless them for doing so. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. As we read these verses, a lot of times we just look at the preacher himself. But I want to look at the pastor and the people. Both have responsibilities, and I want to look at that if we can this evening for just a few minutes. And I won't be long at all tonight. But I do want to bring your attention to that because it is part of Scripture, but it's an essential part of Scripture. The men of God have had a place in the economy of God, in the workings of God from the very outset. We see that God has raised up prophets and preachers and priests and men of God, and then we get into the New Testament. We see pastors and evangelists, and God has just always placed things together like that, and it's no different today than it was in these days that we are reading about here in Hebrews chapter number 13. I'm not going to argue with you who wrote Hebrews. It doesn't matter. God wrote it, and that's all that I care about in this passage of Scripture tonight. We are dealing with this thought, and I want to bring your attention to this because I think it's important that we understand the pastor's role. And I'm glad Brother Shepherd's not here for me to preach this, but I want to understand his role, and I also want to understand our role. I'm not a pastor right now, and so I'm a member just like you are, and I want my relationship with my pastor be biblical and be like it should be. And so here in this passage of Scripture, we see some things in all three of these verses, and I want to bring those out to you if we can for a few minutes tonight as we look at them. First of all, let's look at verse number 7. That was first in our reading. Let's look at verse number 7, if you will, please, and look at these words here. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Now, there's a little bit of different ways to look at this, a couple of different ways, and some of the writers think that this is talking about those that have already gone on, those that already died in the Lord and gone on. And he says, "Remember them." It means to think of and to feel for or to call to mind. "Remember them which had the rule over you." I personally think it's those that are still alive because it says "have the rule," not "had the rule," But nevertheless, I understand what they're thinking, what they're saying, but the emphasis here is have the rule over you. Now, that word "rule" is used in verse number 7 here, verse number 17, and also in verse number 24. It's all three of these verses have this particular same thought, and then some of them vary in the other aspects of it. But it says "have the rule over you." The word "rule" in this verse means one in authority or the overseer. Now, if you work at a public place, you've got bosses, you've got supervisors, superintendents, whatever the case may be, and they oversee what goes on. And that's one rule of responsibility of a pastor, that he has a rule. He's like the overseer, like the supervisor, and God tells him what to do, and then he tries to instruct the people how they ought to do, and we all work together. Now, can you imagine being a supervisor on a job and telling a person that's supposed to get some work done, "Now, I need you to do this," and them say, "No, I don't think I want to do that today." Well, that wouldn't go over too well if he's a supervisor. That's what pastors deal with all the time. They instruct the people. They try to give them instruction from the Word of God and try to help them in their Christian life and in their daily walk. And they instruct them. They instruct them. And as the authority God has given him, which is this book, and he gives this out, and people just seem like they're not interested in what he has to say. That's the hardship of a pastor. And when he sees people that aren't interested in what the Word of God has to say, that's a burden on him. You don't understand that perhaps, but that's a great burden on a man of God that cares. You can have hirelings, they don't care what you do. They're not going to say much about anything anyway, but if they do say something, they don't care if you do it or not, but a man of God that cares and is concerned about his responsibility and the people's responsibility, he says here, remember them which have the rule over you. He's the overseer. The word overseer, the word rule also means the person who is the leader in a Christian church. He is the leader. Now he follows God. And like at our church at Pleasant View, my pastor follows the Lord and I'm supposed to follow him and his instruction. And when you get that out of balance, you've got a mess. And if you're building a house, some of you are carpenters, if you're building a house, and you've got somebody says, we're going to put a roof on this house, we're going to put a 412 pitch on this roof, and somebody else says, I don't like that pitch. I'm going to start on this end. I'm going to start with a different pitch and we'll just meet in the middle. How well is that going to work out? It's not going to work out very well. But I'm telling you, that's what happens in a lot of our churches. The pastor gives the instruction and he's the one that's supposed to be the leader, and we have issues with people wanting him to do his job and them to do theirs. So here he says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. There's the key. Now he gives us the word of God. Now sometimes a pastor will just give you friendly advice or maybe his own opinion about something, and he will, most times he'll tell you that. But I'm telling you, friend, when he is preaching from this book, you and I have a great responsibility to be obedient to the preaching of the word of God. And you and I, that if we're saved, We claim to be saved. That means a follower of Christ. And if we're going to follow Christ, we're going to follow Christ's leadership, and that is the pastor of the local church. So here he says, who has spoken unto you the word of God. The word spoken simply means preached. Who has spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow. The word faith means conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler and provider of salvation to mankind through Christ Jesus. We are to follow their faith. The word follow essentially means to imitate. And I'm telling you, we're supposed to be imitators of the word of God as it's preached and the man of God as he preaches. If you've got a man, if you was going to another church, apply here because I know your pastor, but a lot of people go to a church that the pastor gets up, they won't follow him because he's not living right himself. And if you've got a man that's not trying to live according to the word of God, he's not perfect. He makes mistakes, but as he's trying to follow the will of God and do the work of God, he ought to be somebody that you can follow, you can imitate. And here in this passage of scripture, he says you ought to do that, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The word conversation simply means manner of life. The word end means not only physical life, but the manner they closed as well spent life. It means as they progress in life, you follow them because what they've lived and how they've conducted their life is worthy of imitating. So you and I have a responsibility. As that man of God has a responsibility to live right before us, we have a responsibility to listen to the word of God as it's preached and to obey them to have rule over you. Doesn't use that word obey here, but it says them, remember them which have rule over you. Then in verse number 17, look what it says. Obey them that have the rule over you. The word obey means to listen to and to yield to. To listen to and to yield to. Now I think a lot of times people get in their mind, well, there ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. That's the opinion of society today. They're not going to let any police tell them what to do. The kids in school aren't going to let the teachers tell them what to do. People in general in society, I know places that the bosses at work, they're scared to say anything to the employees, afraid they'll quit because they don't have nobody else to fill their position. I mean, we are living in a society when nobody wants to be told nothing on how they ought to conduct their lives and live. And I'm telling you, if you're not interested in that, then the pastor's spinning his wheels. Says, obey them which have rule over you. Now, I understand what some people say. So he's not gonna lord over me. Well, 1 Peter takes care of that. 1 Peter 5:2 says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willing, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples, and samples to the flock. He's not supposed to be a lord. He's not your daddy. He's not your daddy. We must understand there's only one Lord, and that's Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ has in his wisdom placed men in churches that's supposed to conduct their lives so and preach the word of God so that we're supposed to live by that and learn by that and follow their examples. That's just the way God set it up. If somebody doesn't like that, they don't agree with the scripture. But in this passage of scripture here, talks about being lords of God's heritage. He don't tell you, a pastor don't tell you what color socks to wear. Although they ought to match. Say amen right there. He don't tell you what color socks to wear. He might not tell you what brand of car to drive or things like that. But he is supposed to instruct us in the holy things of God. In our daily life, in our conducting our own lives, he's supposed to instruct us in that. And if he instructs us in that, and somebody's not willing to abide by that and obey that, what good has he done? Let me ask you this. When's the last time you've been to the altar? Now, I know Brother Shepherd well enough to know that he's going to preach something that's going to deal with your heart. From time to time. Some of it may be doctrinal instruction. Some of it may be different things. But he's going to preach something that's going to deal with your heart from time to time. And I look at all these children here. I wonder, do these children ever see you go to the altar as an adult? Have they seen you concerned about what the man of God has said? I don't care if he's preaching about witnessing or living right, getting the sin out of your life or whatever it might be. I don't know. It doesn't matter. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm saying, do the young people in this church ever see the adults in this church respond to the preached word of God and get in this altar? Get things right. Get closer to God. Whatever the case may be. I'm telling you, a man of God that preaches the word of God, he is doing that to help you, not to hurt you. And it says here, obey them. Our scripture text in verse chapter number 13 of Hebrews, verse number 17, obey them that have rule over you. Listen to them and yield to them. Have you done that? Say, preacher, I don't mind the preacher saying that stuff, but I'm not gonna abide by that. Well, you're not right with God. He says, obey them that have rule over you. Listen to what else he says. And submit yourselves. The word submit means to yield to the authority and the admonition. The word admonition means authoritative counsel or warning. And when a man of God's preaching, he is instructing you, he is warning you of what to look out for, what to keep yourself from, and what you ought to do in the spiritual aspect of your life. And here it says submit yourselves to yield to that authority. That admonition, that instruction from the Word of God. Say, well, I'm older than he is. What does that matter? Well, what does that have to do with anything? Say, well, I know more about the Bible than he does. I doubt that. But if you did, what does that matter? Amen. I'm telling you, it says submit yourself. Say, well, so-and-so should have responded to that. He says submit yourselves. You're responsible for yourself. And here in this passage of scripture, he says, submit yourselves. Why would you even do that? The preacher gets up and preaches and huffs and puffs raises his voice and says all these things from the Bible. Why should you even pay attention to him? Because it says, for they watch for your souls. He's concerned about you. The word watch means to exercise constant vigilance over something, like a shepherd with sheep, and that's what the picture is. Pastor Shepherd. Wow, how wonderful does that fit in? Pastor Shepherd, overlooking the sheep, the flock, the congregation. He cares about you. He loves you. He tries to instruct you not to hurt you, but to help you. You're supposed to submit yourself. He has a responsibility. Absolutely he has. But you've got a responsibility as well. I think sometimes when we look at these verses, we think about the preacher's responsibility, but what about our responsibility? When he preaches to us, is it always pleasant? No. Is it always helpful? Yes. If we would take it as God has put it down in his word, it's always beneficial for us. You know these verses. Let me read you just a few verses out of Ezekiel. You know, the Bible talks about the watchman on the wall. And this is what it says in Ezekiel chapter number 33. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not the warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now notice that, warn them from me. What God's telling them. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. See, in God's workings, in God's planning, he set a man to instruct and to warn the flock from the things of the Word of God and apply them to our daily lives. And I'm telling you, there's much warning that needs to be done concerning this evil society that we are living in. But when a man of God gets up and preaches, listen to me please, he's not just doing that because he wants to do it. He's not doing that for filthy lucre. He's doing that because God told him to do that. And God has instructed him. Excuse me. And God has given him that job to do, to watch for the souls of the people. If you're not saved here this evening, if you're not saved, you've heard the word of God. And if you don't respond to that, if you don't believe that, if you choose to go another route, then I'm telling you, this man of God will never be held responsible for that because he's told you the truth. And God allows people to go to hell if they want to. You can go to hell if you want to. I wouldn't suggest it. I would try to keep you from it. But I'm telling you, there's millions of people shun the truth of the gospel, don't want anything to do with God, and plummet off into hell, and that's their choice. I can't help that. I wish it wasn't so. But nevertheless, it is. He says it gives account that he must give it said that watch for your soul. Then look what it says in verse number 17 there. As they that must give account. The day that must give account. See, he's going to be responsible for what he says, how he warns you, how he instructs you. That's a lot of responsibility on a man. There's so much to deal with today. I tell you, our forefathers, my father-in-law was a pastor, and he pastored for about 50 years, and we're having to deal with things today that he never had to deal with. He didn't have to even think about it, because it wasn't going on in his day, at least not like it is today. But here we see in this present day, the man of God has much to deal with. He's not only gotta help you in your life and try to instruct you, but he's gotta warn you from all the iniquities, all the ungodliness, all the things the devil's trying to throw at the people of God. He's got a large responsibility that he must give an account for. And we talk about that, the pastor's responsibility. And we say, you're right, preacher, he's got a lot of responsibility. But he's not the only one that has responsibility. For look what it says in the latter part of the verse. That they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Now this is the part, the aspect, the pastor and the people. The pastor has a responsibility, and the people have a responsibility. And when that man of God is preparing and thinking about a message and praying over it, and he, as he prays for you, and he's concerned about the church, and he cares about the things of God, when he thinks about you, when he thinks about you, does it bring joy or grief to that dear man of God? That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility, that you would live so, and you would hear and heed the instruction of the Word of God. You would grow. You would go forward in your Christian life. That you would want to be obedient to God and stay right with God. That as He gives an account, He's going to do it either with joy or with grief concerning you. The word joy means gladness. When your pastor thinks about you, does it bring gladness to his heart? See, he ought to be glad no matter what, preacher. We pay him. If you've got that mentality, you've got the wrong mentality, friend. When he thinks about you, when my pastor thinks about me and my family, when we cross his mind, does it bring him joy or grief? The word joy means gladness. The word grief, it means to sigh or to groan. You ever had somebody talk to you and somebody's name come up and you go, oh boy. Oh me. We have children like that. We have some children that are trying to follow the Lord, and we have some that are not interested in following the Lord. They've been exposed to the same truth. They've heard the same messages. They've lived in our same home. And some of them are interested in God and some are not. And when we think about them, and we love them all the same, but as much as we love them, sometimes some of them bring us gladness and some of them bring us grief. We love them. We want the best for them. We want to see them living for God and serving God and not going away from God. But I'm telling you, the pastor looks at the people in a similar way, and when he sees you in his mind's eye, does he have joy and gladness? Or does it burden him? Does he have grief? Does he know that you should be going forward for God, but he sees you being distant and less interested and going another way after all the instruction and preaching he's done? Or does he see somebody that's willing to go forward and say, come on, preacher, let's go for God? You can bring either gladness to that man of God or grief to that man of God. Say, preacher, I don't ever talk to Brother Shepherd. You ever tell him, that was a good message, preacher? Does he ever hear you say that? Say, I'm just one of the younger people, what does that matter? If you're saved, he preached to you just like he preached to everybody else. Does he see you advancing in the things of God? Does he see you excited when he preaches? Does he see you glad that you're around the things of God, and he don't see you growing more and more cold on God and going the opposite way? You'll either bring gladness to that dear man of God, or you'll bring grief to him. Say, preacher, I'm not doing either one. I'm just kind of coasting along. Well, I'm telling you, that won't bring as much gladness as it should. To get involved, to get behind the man of God. I've not always done that. I've not always been as vocal as I should. I've not always showed the support like I should. But when they were singing tonight about the difference that the Lord made in your life, and I thought, well, what a difference. When I got saved, I cared nothing for the God or the things of God. And when I got saved, all that changed. I'm talking about instantly. I got saved on a Wednesday night in a local meeting place where we used to have high school dances and all kinds of secular events. And they had a youth meeting there one year, and I got saved in that youth meeting on a Wednesday night. Sunday morning, guess where I found myself? In the house of God. And I was actually interested in what the preacher had to say instead of just playing around and waiting until the thing was over so I could see my friends and do other things. I'm telling you, I didn't understand that then, but I hope that I brought some gladness to the man of God instead of grief. I didn't want him worrying about me. What's Randy going to do next? Where's he been? What's he doing? He's getting colder and colder. He's going further and further away. I'm trying to preach to him and he's not paying attention. You either bring gladness or grief to the man of God. That's your responsibility. His responsibility is to instruct you and be an example for you and do what he can to help you along. But it's your responsibility to take that, submit to it, yield to it, obey it. But look what it says, the last part of that verse. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The word unprofitable means hurtful or harmful effects. If you're bringing grief to the man of God, it's not harmful to him, although it hurts him and it burdens him. It's harmful for you. If I bring grief to my pastor's heart and in his life instead of gladness, it's hurting me. I'm the one gonna benefit from that, either positively or negatively. I'm telling you, if I bring gladness, praise God. If I bring grief, friend, I'm telling you that is unprofitable for me. And it is unprofitable for you if you bring grief and not gladness. The last verse in this chapter says, verse number 24, it deals with this, says, salute all them that have rule over you. All the saints, they of Italy salute you. Same word, rule, there again. I think in our churches we've kind of got this mentality. Well, the preacher's responsible to do all that stuff. He's responsible to do everything, and you know, we pay him. And he ought to do all that. I'm going to come in. I'm going to just flop down. Let him do his thing. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go home. And it's the preacher's responsibility to get the service to a certain peak, to have a certain amount of the power of God in this place. It's a preacher's responsibility to act people on and do all the things he can to make a spiritual atmosphere for the rest of us. But we're just going to come in and sit and leave and go to the house. When we've got that mentality, we've got things all out of kilter. He has a responsibility. Yes, he does. But we've neglected our responsibility as members. We have great responsibility. You've got a responsibility to take care of him physically, financially, all those things. And I'm not even talking about that tonight. That's not what I'm talking about. It don't even deal with that here. Except for in 1 Peter chapter 5 where it talks about filthy lucre. That's for hirelings. I'm talking about the spiritual well-being of this church. The spiritual submission of this church. And when the man of God is preaching and pouring his heart out to you, and he is agonized with God and giving you the word of God, it's your responsibility to obey, submit, and yield to that. I'll ask you this again. When's the last time you've been to the altar? Over something the preacher's preached, the Lord has dealt with your heart, either something you've been doing that you shouldn't be doing or something you should be doing that you're not doing. It doesn't matter. I'm not concerned about what it is. Maybe you're going through a trial and he's preached on, the Lord can help you through that. Whatever the case may be. When's the last time you've responded? Does he think his labor is in vain? I'm not saying do it for a show. I'm talking about when God deals with your heart. Does he ever see this congregation in support of him and saying amen to him as he preaches and showing that you're interested? Looking and paying attention, turning to the scriptures with him, whatever the case may be. When you've got a man of God that cares like your preacher does, and you've got a preacher that'll tell you the truth, that's pretty rare nowadays. Unfortunately, pretty rare. And he'll tell you the truth whether you like it or don't, because he's not trying to please you, he's trying to please God. And if you're right with God, you want to please God. So when the scripture is given to you, you respond to that. If we don't watch it, it'll be weeks and months, and those will turn into years that we've never responded to the preaching of the Word of God. The people have a responsibility just like the pastor. It's different responsibilities. God has set it up that way. But I wonder if you would consider your responsibility as the people. Understanding his responsibility and his need for your prayer and support and encouragement. There's enough just as members to discourage us. Can you imagine what it is for a preacher? See, he's got his own burdens, and he's got all of your burdens. I can go to church and leave church and have my own burdens and not even know what the preacher has on him. The pastor and the people. It's got to be a united effort. It's got to be a work of labor together. I turn on the radio in the mornings, hear him on there. Sometimes he's running late. Just to hear him get up and get on there, it just blesses my heart to hear him. He's got such a positive attitude. I wish I had more of that. He's on there bright and chipper. I'm at work. I'm grumbling, complaining. So I had to get up so early. I wonder if we ever consider not just his responsibility, but our own. So, preacher, I never really looked at it that way. Well, maybe now you could look at that, reconsider that, and implement that into your worship and to your life. Let God work in your heart and in this church. Thank you for letting us be here today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of coming today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy and grace. Thank you for a man of God, his brother Shepherd. Thank you for my pastor. Thank you for other preachers that have influenced my life so greatly. Where would we be without them, Lord? How you've used them. That's the way you set it up. And I'm so grateful for the privilege of the preachers that I've heard that stood for the truth. Sadly, some have compromised and gone another route and direction, Lord. I take no pleasure in that. But I sure am thankful for the ones that have stood the test and made up their mind to go with God. I pray that you'd bless this congregation. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their willingness to come to the house of God. May they get in behind this dear man of God here. And let them, Lord, I pray, unite in a united effort to accomplish the will of God in this place. However the pastor may see fit to lead and guide, would you please, Lord, let them do their part. Not just expect him to do his part, but them take upon their own responsibility to do their own part. Help us at our church to do the same. Other churches around the country, Lord, the pastors are struggling, trying to hold things together themselves when the congregation is not very interested. Please help those dear men of God. Bless them, I pray. Thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. In Jesus' name.